Greetings, kindred witches, curious listeners, and new practitioners to the craft. Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. Here, I share my experience as I build a modern-day, inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, the celestial cycles, and the science of energy. Join me as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works towards building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us. Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. The Atomic Witchcraft team participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support indigenous communities in your area. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will, as within, so without, as above, so below, as I am, so mote it be. Good moon, witches, and welcome to our hearth. The equinox is upon us. Whether spring or fall, this liminal time is one of transition, where days change shape, losing or gaining sunshine, and taking or releasing the darkness in exchange. It's a time when the seasonal scales begin to tip. I like to think of seasons as moon phases. A full moon radiates much like the energy of summer. The new moon speaks to the rest and hibernation of winter. This puts the equinoxes as either the first or last quarter moons, waxing or waning energy. Liminal, a time in between. A moment that ushers on the change that brings the next season. For those in the southern hemisphere, this spring equinox resembles the energy of the first quarter moon, an echo of the lunar tide. This double waxing and growth energy is always so potent in the spring. It's a time to dream and plan deeply. There's a power in the air during this time, and even though the veils are shifting toward the physical domain of summer, the spring equinox offers a great moment to reach deeply into yourself and connect with witch before the potent summer energy kicks in. This comes with a shift to longer days, leaving the rest and hibernation of winter behind, making way for spring and summer. It's also a time where I like to revisit my witch's wheel to plan my intents for the year, areas I wish to grow or practice more deeply. Spring energy holds potential. What will you do with it? Plan now for that coming full moon in spring season. For those of us in the northern hemisphere, this waning equinox pushes against the waxing energy of a growing moon, offers a couple of interesting energy tides. From the fall winds that kind of push and pull to the balanced stagnation of the last days of summer. We are also, as a culture, drawn back into routine in the fall. Summer vacations end, school starts, work resumes at a usual pace, and the loom of the holidays creeps in. All of this while the season energy is tipping towards release and rest. So be patient with yourself in these days. You might feel that push and pull, the need to do and the need to rest. Honor those. Boundaries are key here. And with the equinox, we also feel the shifting of the liminal from the physical to the ethereal, a thinning of the veil. This comes with the shift to shorter days and longer nights, a time when I like to embrace shadow and ancestral work, a deep rest with community during candle nights. For now, though, this equinox with its opposing energy is much like the fall winds, with a taste of summer heat and that cool smell of change in the air. As we move into a full moon during a season of release, prepare yourself for what you might be ready to let go of in this coming autumn season. Whether it's spring or autumn equinox, I like to use this time to revisit my witch's wheel for the season. In the spring, it's about laying out the year. In the fall, it's about checking in and the lessons learned so far. Both provide space to step into the liminal and connect with witch. You can build or revisit your own wheel by listening to episode 70 and checking out our Patreon, which hosts information from our workshop. Please reach out if we can help. Lunar tides be with you. There are words that shape us, that stick with us and remind us in our deepest moments of the truths that ground us. Now, those words are going to be different for everyone, but for me, in my house, growing up, and even now, the words of Desiderata have always had a place on the walls, on our tongues, and over the years I've come to know it by heart. And while I could share it with you here today instead, I encourage you to give that episode a listen or seek it out on your own terms. What I do want to share is the opening line, a line that I feel speaks to an integral kind of aspect of my craft and practice and just a generally good tenet, especially as embrace my 2023 word of the year, ease. Desiderata opens with, "Go placidly amid the noise and haste and remember what peace there may be in silence." Again, "Go placidly amid the noise and haste and remember what peace there may be in silence." Seems pretty straightforward. Placidly speaks to a calm or peaceful manner, and we can all understand the noise and haste and urgency of our capitalist, social media, news-driven society. And in this, these words offer a reminder to find silence, stillness. While the line reminds us of the peace we can find in those moments, I also think of the deep value stillness and inner peace have in a witchcraft practice. For me, a big part of witchcraft is manipulation of energy, and to do that, we have to bring awareness to that energy, tune into it, and then through word and deed, bring intent to shape that energy. Now, what happens if we're so busy inside, thinking, stewing, worrying, stressing, daydreaming, while we tune into something else? Not a lot's happening, right? It's just like when a thought is run off in your head while someone else is talking. We aren't much of an impact on the conversation because we're lost in our own thoughts. This is true for witchcraft as well. We have to learn to quiet that internal noise so that we can start from a place of stillness, a place that's quiet. Then we can hear and tune into the energy around us to make the most impact. If our mind is elsewhere while we shape a spell, or we spend most of our time stressing over some event that has nothing to do with what we're trying to achieve, that energy goes to those intents instead of where we're trying to direct it. So if you cast a spell for a new job and you spend most of your day stressing over a conversation you had with your coworker, the energy gets directed towards the coworker instead of a new job for you. And hey, guess what? Your coworker may get the new job. But hey, at least they aren't stressing you out anymore. Instead, there is an inner stillness and calm that if you can find that space and energy, it's easy to direct it towards the dreaming of that dream job and the intent that you're trying to put out into the world, right? It allows you to participate in dynamic interviews and put that energy into yourself to achieve that goal. So this is the biggest reason that I stress mindfulness and meditation as key ways to practice the craft. Learning to sit with ourselves, being present in the moment, it's a challenge. It's not easy. all sorts of stuff comes up. Being present in the moment and focusing on the task at hand also means that anything we didn't want to be feeling or thinking might rise to the surface. You may find a still pond quickly turns into a whirlpool, and this is where shadow work comes in. The autumn equinox, ushering in the long nights, the changing energy tides, the thinning of the veil, all create a cauldron of simmering reflection, one that has always felt as though it goes hand in hand with shadow work for me. A time to release and let go, to hold space for healing through deep rest and the ability to bloom again, something new in the spring. Part of my witch's wheel this turn is to peel another layer of shadow work, looking deeply at the unhealed wounds, baggage, squashed dreams, bad behavior, and, for me, deep layers of grief. And learning, synthesizing, letting it stew so that as winter cocoons, it can transform into something more whole and at peace, helping still that inner pool. I want to be clear. Deep shadow work is often best done with a therapist or counselor. Truly digging deep and reflecting can unlayer demons we didn't know existed and break open wounds we thought had healed. But the work, while emotionally laborious and tough, teaches us as well. Emotions are energetic vibrations. Understanding our emotions, what they are, how they drive us, how to process them without becoming them, all of that increases our ability to understand energy, to sense it, to tune it, to shape it. Emotions are one of the most potent tools we have when it comes to creating intent, second only to the physical actions we take. Thus, if we can move more placidly amid the noise and haste, remembering what peace there may be in silence, we are always then able to hear and tap into the energy around us. It creates a practice that, at least for me, more fluidly integrates witch, not just as a spiritual practice, but in how I interact with everyday life. This line also has a more practical effect. In actual physical silence, you can learn to hear small sounds of the world around you. I know for most of my life, this would have been an unbearable thing. Music or sound of some kind always needed to be present. Silence set my nerves on edge. But then I began to ask myself why. And it became a bit of a challenge for me to learn to sit in silence. It also instigated a lot of deep shadow work. When it's hard to sit in physical silence, we might start to ask what we are trying to tune out. I also admit that visiting my parents as an adult and watching them be mindfully present in silence certainly helped me understand the practice through co-practice. It truly isn't always easy, but it is amazing what I started to hear when I wasn't always trying to fill my ears with noise. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it's still a beautiful world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Alyssa again with Witch in Action, in which I share some ways that you can integrate mindful living into your practice. Now, the suggestions I make may not suit everybody or everybody. I acknowledge that everyone has their journey, and sometimes certain sustainable living practices may not suit that journey. It's not about perfection, it's about doing just a little bit better and allowing grace for those who are unable to. For me, the autumn equinox goes hand in hand with harvest time, specifically late harvest, where the last of the tomatoes and corn are being gathered and fall crops like apples are ripe on the tree. Food from the earth is an incredible gift, and as witches, I believe we should honor it as such. For me, this means being mindful of what I eat, when I eat it, and what steps I take to keep food fresh and properly preserve it. Now, living in the Pacific Northwest, I try my best to eat foods that are in alignment with the flow of the seasons. For example, I avoid fresh tomatoes in January and hard squash in the summer, as those items wouldn't be harvested in my area at those times of year. Eating with the seasons makes me feel more connected to the cycles of the earth and adds a layer of depth to my practice, especially as a cottage witch, where some of my magic is rooted in kitchen and gardens. Besides, living where I do, if I'm eating tomatoes or peaches in the dead of winter, it's likely they were grown in artificial conditions very far from me and transported in, which impacts the environment in negative ways via greenhouse gases and carbon offsets. There's a great website, seasonalfoodguide.org, where you can search by area and time of year to see exactly what fruits and veggies are in season for you. I also choose to be mindful of where my sources of food come from. I do my best to grow some produce for my household in the summertime, but goodness knows my crops aren't always successful. I also frequently buy food from my local farmers markets. I go there for groceries, fresh bread, and honey from mindful beekeepers. When buying animal products, I do my best to source as ethically as possible and make sure nothing goes to waste. Now, I recognize that I am very lucky that I am able to acquire food in this way, but I encourage you to find just little ways to change how you approach these gifts of the earth. One of the easiest ways you can start being more mindful about food is in how you store it and preserve it, and to make sure little goes to waste. When it comes to fresh produce, there are ideal and some not so ideal ways to store it. For example, potatoes and onions both are best stored in dark conditions. However, you don't want to store them in the same container as they both release gases that will cause the other to rot quickly. Apples and carrots should also remain apart because carrots absorb odors easily and apples give off a lot of odor. It won't cause either to go bad if you do put them in the same crisper drawer, but you will just end up with some very apple-y tasting carrots. For more information, I recommend checking out Bailey Ruskus, also known as Chef Bay, on social media, who has some great videos on this subject, or checking out the New York Times article on how to keep produce fresh for weeks. When it comes to preserving, I have really just begun to explore methods like canning. And let me tell you, this by far feels like the witchiest thing I do in my kitchen. There is something incredibly magical about taking a large cauldron, or in my case, crock pot, full of hot jam or preserves and adding it to glass jars and sealing them up by boiling them. It's a skill I'm still learning, but it has upped my food preservation game. If you're interested in trying it, I highly recommend looking into reliable resources, such as the Ball Mason Jar website, to find safe methods of canning. Now, as for avoiding food waste, there are a lot of little tricks I use. It's all about being creative. Have veggie scraps, save them up, and make a stock or broth that you can use in soup or other recipes. You can't get that last little bit of mustard from the jar? Add some vinegar, oil, maybe some maple syrup, some salt and pepper, give it a good shake, and voila, you have salad dressing. I also follow this amazing author on social media, Carly Bodrug, who has a whole video series called Scrappy Cooking, which has tips on reducing food waste that even I wasn't aware of. You can find her on Instagram as PlantU. What are some ways that you'll shift your approach to food to make it a mindful part of your practice?
Jay here one more time to tee up our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, October 1st, just following the upcoming full moon. As always, what makes Atomic Witchcraft thrive is all of you, so please join us again, engage us with your questions and thoughts anytime, and consider tossing a coin to your witches if you're able. The QR code here will take you to our Patreon page. And for a moment, let's hold our virtual hands a little tighter before letting go to step back into our days. We hope today's haven has deepened connections to our world and each other just a little bit further.
As we wrap today, the team at Atomic Witchcraft thanks you for listening. We are looking forward to exploring this new path with you and would love to connect via social media or Patreon. Linktree is in the bios. Access is always free, and we work to harbor a safe hearth for all. As above, so below. As within, so without. As we end, so we begin.